Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And afterward, he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This first Sunday in Lent, every year, is the same story that comes to us. It's the temptation of Adam and Eve in the garden. It's the temptation of Jesus just after his baptism. It's a theme of wilderness. After Adam and Eve sin, they're expelled from the garden. And this text, our gospel today, says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Those of you who are in the adult Bible study class have been studying Exodus, where we read of God leading God's people into the wilderness. Oh yes, God set them free from slavery, only to lead them into the wilderness. 40 years. So here it is. Jesus is just beginning his ministry. He was just baptized, and the Spirit of God leads him into the wilderness. We might ask, what is it about the Bible and God and wilderness? 40 days. Well, of course, this is set up to remind us of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness. But Jesus goes there to prepare for ministry. Because what is wilderness but a place to learn? A place to learn to trust God. A place to wrestle with all of life's difficulties. Maybe some of you are in a wilderness right now. It doesn't need to be outside in the elements. We have our own wildernesses as we wade through things, as we wrestle with things. The Israelites in the wilderness in the book of Exodus had all sorts of temptations. and they had hard lessons to learn. And that first generation never got to the promised land. That's always been a hard part of that story for me. That these people who God heard their cry, they were in slavery. And God said, I've heard the cry of my people. I will let you go free. And then God takes them to the wilderness. It didn't seem like freedom to them. But somehow God had a bigger picture in mind for them. While they were in the wilderness, they had to learn to trust that God would provide and protect and prepare. The wilderness, writes one of my professors, Dwight Schiele, the wilderness is a place of loss, hardship, and testing, a place nobody really wants to be. It's a crucible where old habits and patterns die, but something new is born. And there's no shortcut through the wilderness for God's people, because it is precisely in the ambiguity and difficulty there that they learn how to be God's people. Have you lived through some wilderness experiences that brought you closer to God, that taught you to trust? So here we have Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry. Son of God, yet fully human. He's been fasting in the wilderness for 40 days. And afterward, he was famished, and the tempter came to him. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Would that be so wrong? But Jesus isn't going to overturn the laws of nature for his own personal need. Jesus knows. The tempter doesn't have his best interest in mind, even though a little bread would be really good right now. There are no shortcuts in the wilderness. The tempter comes to Jesus and takes him to the holy city, places him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saying to him, if you are the Son of God. And the tempter knows that Jesus is the Son of God. Throw yourself down. Jump off a cliff. God will catch you. And yes, that's probably true. But Jesus responds, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Faith isn't for silly tricks. There's those churches that have the snake handlers. Yeah, there's a reason we don't do that stuff. God's not about silly tricks. And again, the third temptation. The devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. And this is the most insidious of them all. Worship me, says the tempter, and I will give you all this. I will give you power and honor and glory if you worship me. But see, here's the thing. Jesus already has all the power and the honor and the glory. And the devil knows it. We know Jesus can't succumb to this kind of temptation. But we certainly can. Which is where our eye needs to be on Jesus. The devil says, you can be on the winning side if only you follow this, you trust that, you buy that. Is it just me, or are there more car commercials on television right now? I'm thinking maybe because people are getting their tax refunds. Or maybe because I typed into a search box once what it would cost to get a new Hyundai Elantra. It's frightening. All I see are ads for new Hyundai Elantras. Marketers understand what temptation is like for us. And when we're on the internet, the algorithms that other people are reading on our information is mind-boggling. This is stuff the tempter has known about us all along. That we covet. It's a word you don't see outside of the Ten Commandments ever. But it's a wanting that ticks away at us inside. And it doesn't matter what it's for. You know, is it a wanting for safety? There's nothing wrong with that. Unless it makes us hate all of our neighbors that we don't know intimately or that aren't just like us. It's a longing. Maybe for power. Or maybe for being on the right side of something. To be the winner. We do this with our children. You know? Parents are busier than they've ever been before. Getting their kids from one event to another. And most of those events, not all of them, but most of them, are competitive. We enjoy competition. We enjoy winning. And so when the devil says, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, that's like the ultimate winning. But you see, Jesus is not competitive. Jesus isn't like us. Jesus came for all of us. All of us. For God so loved the world. Jesus wasn't interested in earthly power. And that's why people in his day and in our day don't understand him very well. He wasn't about earthly power. He was about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, where Revelation paints that picture, it's one great community where all people are around the throne of God, worshiping God together. And if you're all around the throne, you're all looking at each other and you're seeing each other real. For God so loved the world. We have temptations. We're no Jesus when it comes to confronting our temptations. But we don't need to be Jesus. Ours is just to follow him. He's rooting for us. He came for us. He died for us while we were still sinners, that we might glorify God and love our neighbors and help bring in the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Not the kingdom that the devil pointed to. You can have all this. No, Jesus taught us to pray, Thy kingdom come on earth as it already is in heaven. May the vision of that kingdom fill your heart with love and wonder and forgiveness and mercy and grace and all God's good gifts. Let the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who loves us so. Amen.